are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, January 8th, and another great start and another disappointing home loss for the Detroit Pistons. This is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word. We really appreciate you guys doing that. Today we're going to look back on Monday's game against the San Antonio Spurs, another loss for the Pistons. We're also going to talk about Dwayne Casey's rotations. I feel like the fan base is boiling over a little bit, getting fed up with the first-year coach. The honeymoon is over for Dwayne Casey in Detroit. We're also going to talk a little trades a little bit, as we are now less than a month away from the trade deadline on February 7th. We're going to hear from a listener who, like many of you, didn't like my trade idea from Friday's show. So we'll revisit that a little bit. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore. After that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. That's the best way to help us out, is to not only tell your friends but and your family members that are big Pistons fans, but also give us the impressions and all of the intangibles and all that good stuff on social media. But the Pistons fall to the San Antonio Spurs on Monday night, 119-107. Just kill me, right? Don't kill yourself, like Derrick Rose says, but just kill me. After watching that one, Derrick Rose, by the way, the kill yourself comments that he made to some reporters on Monday, kind of in response to Tom Thibodeau getting fired by the Minnesota Timberwolves, and just kind of brought it up non sequitur, being asked about something else. And I'm not a Derrick Rose fan, and not many are these days, especially obviously after the somewhat, let's just say that the personal things that came out in this past offseason, with the trial, the woman, the sexual assault, all that good stuff. But not great. I don't think I'd like to date Derrick Rose, for instance. But is it possible that, and we don't talk like this sometimes, but is it possible that he's just like a slow person? I don't know what the PC term for that is these days, but someone who's just a little bit slow. I mean, to be a public figure in the public eye for well over a decade now, and to be giving an interview for many people, and to twice say, kill yourself, to critics, kind of in an offhanded way, not even really in a mad way, but kind of a conversational, but strange Derrick Rose way of saying things, which is kind of always the case. To not understand that this will definitely become a thing, very obviously become a thing, very quickly become a thing, I think he might just be a slow person. But anyways, 17-21 for the Pistons now, a new low water mark of the season, four games under 500. They have not yet until last night been four games under 500 for this season. Still ninth in the Eastern Conference playoff race. Still just one game out of the playoffs behind the Brooklyn Nets, who also lost on Monday to Boston. Pistons, by the way, two games out of the sixth seed, so get excited about that. But on the other side, though, I mean, if you want, that might be the optimistic viewpoint of looking at it. The Pistons are now just 5.5 games ahead of the goddamn Atlanta Hawks. So holy mackerel, as Mark Champion might say about that. The Pistons on Monday lose for the fifth time in six games, the 14th time in 18 games, when they were 13-7, riding high after the victory against the Golden State Warriors. Seems like a long time ago, doesn't it, December 1st? But Blake Griffin, his second straight game with 34 points. He also had 8 rebounds. This guy has got to be looking around that locker room like, what in the hell is going on here? 19 points and 14 rebounds for Andre Drummond. You know what, I'm going to stay. Empty stats. Again, a good fourth quarter, at times good in the first half, but just not good times lately for Andre Drummond, though. 5 turnovers. He did have the 3 steals, though. 14 points for Reggie Jackson, who played pretty well in limited minutes. Barely got just a few seconds more than Jose Calderon of court time. We'll get into that in a little bit. 13 points for Reggie Bullock. He was 3 for 12 from 3. Not going to get it done there for my selling of Reggie Bullock hopes that we've been talking about lately. John Luehr and Luke Kennard each had 10 points. I would say that Luehr played pretty well. Serviceable, as the Pistons tried to claw back late third quarter, early fourth quarter, to no avail. Kennard, I'm not going to go that far and say that he played well despite scoring 10 points. hear me out. Does he have a knack of like missing important shots in terms of like sometimes those situations where the second straight good play after one good play that could really get a run going? You know, you make one good play, that's cool. You make a big stop on defense with a big block or a big steal, and then you get a basket on the other end. That's maybe the second good play if you knock down a shot. And then you get that third good play in a row. Now you're starting to run, right? But it's kind of a working theory of mine that, you know, obviously you got the shots in the clutch. Of course, those matter. You can extract stats from late and close games to compile how guys do in clutch with, you know, the margin being 5 points or less or something like that. Pretty easy to come up with those kind of numbers. But my working theory is like something like a big basket to end a run for the other team when your team needs to end that run. Or maybe you're down 12. This is what I'm thinking about with Luke Kennard on Monday night. You're down 12, and this is obviously isn't the exact situation. Down 12 with like 10 minutes left, and you get a basket. Your team gets a basket. Now you're down 10. You get a stop, and then you're wide open. You're Luke Kennard. You're wide open from three. You knock it down. It could get it down to 7, but you missed that one. So you didn't get that third play in a row that could have got that run going. You know, it's not a game winner or a shot with 2 minutes left in a tie game. Very obviously a clutch situation there. But it's like that next level of importance throughout the flow of a game that could get a team back into possibly striking distance at some point. And what's that? Is that kind of a clutch shooting? Not quite clutch, maybe you know, warm clutch or something like that. Not hot clutch, but I feel like that he kind of struggles with that sometimes. But that could also be me maybe imagining things a little bit. I think that also throughout the course of watching games, and I don't chart games, I just kind of watch them like many of you do. But seeing Luke miss a three-pointer, it's maybe a little bit more disappointing than anyone else because you expect more from him being billed as a shooter like he is. So maybe I'm being a little bit unfair about that, but I don't know. But anyway, DeMar DeRozan, speaking of guys who have been treated unfairly a lot of times on podcasts and Twitter and all that good stuff, he is still very good, in case you were wondering, despite the fact that NBA Twitter ripped on him all summer and talked about how the Spurs got screwed on that trade. And, of course, Kawhi Leonard, an excellent player, nothing against him, but DeRozan and Portal is a decent player, and you get a first-round pick out of that. When they showed the graphic on Fox Sports Detroit during the game, I kind of forgot that they're getting, you know, next season's Toronto first-round pick. That'll be late in the 20s, obviously, or maybe mid-20s. But still, you know, I mean, knowing in a situation where teams could exploit the fact that Kawhi Leonard wanted out of there, that relationship was broken, normally a situation where you could swoop in and get a really good discount. And I'm not to say that the haul for San Antonio was better than what they gave up in Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard. But just as far as how, you know, people just kind of wrote off that return that San Antonio got, especially the disrespect that DeMar DeRozan got over the offseason, something that I will not forget, and I won't let you forget here as listeners of the Locked On Pistons podcast, as I get a text message, by the way. But 26 points, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds for DeRozan. He was outstanding. 25 points for LaMarcus Aldridge. Derek White had 17. 15 for Bryn Forbes, the Michigan State player, former Michigan State player. 13 for Patty Mills. Always been my guy out of St. Mary's, by the way. One time I was made fun of a couple years, maybe it was a few years ago now. Hopefully it was a few years ago. When I suggested that, I really like Patty Mills, I suggested that some team could make Patty Mills their starting point guard. And I'm not saying he would have been like a top 15 point guard or anything like that, but I kind of got laughed at in that discussion. I can remember that. And I was probably wrong there. But I think there was a time a few years back when Patty Mills could have been a starting point guard for a team and one of, you know, a Reggie Jackson level, one of the worst starting point guards in the league, but like serviceable. But anyway, a little bit of a digression there. With the Pistons now, 4 games coming up Wednesday at the LA Lakers without LeBron James. We'll talk about that one a bunch tomorrow. Thursday at Sacramento for a game that you would hope they'd get a win against the Kings, although we know that they played really well at the very beginning of the season. Saturday afternoon, a 3:30 start Eastern against the Clippers. That's going to be an early start out in LA. Monday at Utah on Monday night. So to me, I don't know, that's 4 games. Sounds like 1-3, you get the Sacramento game, possibly 2-2 if you're optimistic that they could beat the LeBron-less Lakers. Or maybe you think they could steal one against the Clippers and Blake's homecoming or Utah or something like that. But, I mean, more likely that it's 0-4 than 3-1 for sure. More likely that 0-4 maybe than 2-2. But I don't know. That's just me being a little bit negative right now. But 0-4 is certainly on the table for sure. But after another note to think about, after Saturday against the Clippers, so the third of the four-game road trip, that will be the halfway point of the season on Saturday against the Clippers. So up next, by the way, we're going to go a little bit deeper into Dwayne Casey's rotations and strategies. It's got many of you up in arms on Twitter, rightfully so. But the Locked On Podcast Network are doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram, as I've been telling you about. Give us a follow on Twitter at LockedOnNBAnet. All the hosts, all good stuff on one feed. Instagram, it's LockedOnNBAnet. We'll give you stories in your Instagram stories, short ones, and then longer cuts on the biggest stories in the feeds for the main Instagram feed there. So make sure you follow LockedOnNBAnet on both Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, sir!
All right, and later on, a little bit more about trades. It is trade season. We had a listener that hated my Friday idea for a trade, some other folks on Twitter as well. So we'll revisit that and also hear from Andy in Ann Arbor as well. But before we go deeper here, I've got a little bit of a silver lining, maybe as the depressing weather comes to Michigan and the depressing Pistons play continues. Maybe we'll make this a reoccurring feature. We talked about how the Pistons might have a chance to beat San Antonio on yesterday's show. But now they didn't, I got a little bit more of a silver lining for you guys. Going through some of the strength of schedule numbers, we know the Pistons had an early, easy schedule that contributed to them getting a lot of wins, obviously. Well, now, with the tough slate that they've had, they've moved up to 21st, according to the ESPN.com strength of schedule. So, you know, getting closer to the middle of the pack there. But to even better the news than that, the good news, real good news, and at the easiest strength of schedule right now in the league is Oklahoma City, according to the numbers I found on ESPN.com. Actually, they are tied with one team, and that one team is Miami. And so the Miami, the team that they are tied with, and the next two teams at the bottom of the strength of schedule ahead of them, Miami and then Charlotte and then Brooklyn. And obviously we know that those are the teams that the Pistons are contending with for playoff spots in the Eastern Conference. So what that means is those teams have played the easiest schedules so far, and the silver lining is that it could even out a little bit as their schedule gets tougher the rest of the way. So Charlotte, Brooklyn, Miami, 27th, 28th, and tied for 29th in lowest strength of schedule so far. To me, that'll balance out a little bit, and those are the teams the Pistons are competing with. So those teams will have tough second-half schedules as we look ahead. Now, those three teams are also at the very bottom three for teamrankings.com. They did their strength of schedule. So Brooklyn, Miami, and Charlotte, the very bottom three. So there's a couple different ways that you can measure the strength of schedule. Tankathon.com, which you guys should check out for the NFL also, but some good stuff on tankathon.com. They said that for remaining strength of schedule in terms of the hardest schedule left, so in Tankathon, obviously everything is flipped upside down. So when they rank teams at the highest, that means that they have better chances of losing. So toughest schedules left, they ranked 4 through 6 as Brooklyn, Miami, and Charlotte in terms of the toughest remaining strength of schedule. So they're all tough there, and Detroit is 26th. So a lot easier there. Now, unfortunately, I don't think that some of these sites do, and maybe some of them don't, but I don't think they take a lot of the home road splits into account. So the Pistons do only have 20 home games left as opposed to 24 road games. So the numbers might be a little bit tougher than those ones imply for the Pistons. But that brings me to a Twitter poll that I put up late on Monday night. Will the Pistons make the playoffs? That's simple, yes or no. So check that out on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account that we have. Also, the early returns are pretty negative, which makes sense under this brutal stretch that the Pistons have right now that they are going through and the fans are going through as well. Now, all right, I want to talk about rotations. And as you know, if you're a regular listener to Locked On Pistons, I don't like to talk about rotations very much. I think that fans obsess over them a little bit too much, about their favorite teams. It's an easy way to poke holes in a coach's strategy, but I have acknowledged in the past and will continue to that it is a thing that is important for NBA coaches, and sometimes it's egregiously bad. We went through some of that with Stan Van Gundy over the past 4 years, and I think Dwayne Casey is now into this territory. Now let's kind of go through some of the problems I had with Monday, and these are reoccurring problems a lot of times as well. First problem, the second quarter. Again, Saturday against Utah and Monday night against San Antonio. That lineup that he threw out there with his no Zaza once again, no Ish Smith has been the case for a couple weeks now. Those two guys are catalysts. They're steady hands of that bench group. I get that. A little bit of hands tied action for Dwayne Casey there. But you know, first off, Dwayne Casey keeps Andre Drummond in for the first 17 minutes of the game. I watched him closely because he's been such a hot button issue for Pistons fans really over his entire 7-year career. But He looked ragged, I would say, for the first 5-6 minutes of the game. Before this, had a little burst of energy for the late part of the first quarter. But he brought him out for the start of the second quarter again after playing the entire 12-minute first quarter. I couldn't believe it, actually. Pretty much gassed him. He was useless there in the second quarter, understandably. And even worse, with the players out there with him, you got Jose Calderon, which, man, as an aside, ay, 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 caramba. I don't know how the Spaniards would say it, but it's over right now for Jose Calderon. He's approaching Jameer Nelson from last year territory. I didn't mean that, Jose. You're not really approaching the washness of Jameer Nelson from last year. But Jose out there with Andre, not a lot you can do there on the pick and roll. With Jose running the show. Stanley Johnson, obviously not someone who's going to create in the half court. Luke Kennard really struggling right now. Langston Galloway, same. His minutes are being cut all the time. And, I mean, Andre Drummond was clearly the centerpiece, the freaking centerpiece of that offense. Couldn't get it done. And again, I would get that if he made a conscious decision that, okay, Zaza's out. Luer struggled defensively in the second quarter against Utah the other night. So maybe Luer's just not going to play, and we're just going to ride out Andre and Blake the whole game. But then they bring Luer in the second half as if nothing has changed. So I don't get why Luer couldn't be out there with a Blake, or Luer couldn't be out there with a Bullock. Or I know the Bullock's not going to create his own shot, but at least you can run plays for him to be a shooter. But just no options out there with that group. And every Pistons fan that was watching that game, we all saw it. We all knew what was going to happen with the run that was coming for San Antonio. And secondly, another problem with the rotation, if you're going to get that bench unit out there with no push, no offense whatsoever, get Reggie Jackson in that second unit. Why can't he be out there? And again, this is a little bit of the same discussion that we had last year with Ish Smith starting with the starters when Reggie Jackson was out. He had Bikes coming in, Dwight Bikes coming in with the backups, and then maybe you should switch them. Start Bikes and have Ish come off the bench where he's more comfortable. And holy hell, by the way, I just had a little Dwight Bikes PTSD. But in this case, I think I'll complain. I think it's accurate again. I mean, especially if Dre is out there with the second unit, it's tailor-made to kind of run back that Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond pick and roll from these past several years. But no, I mean, and that's what you got to do when you got a small list of guys that are playing well. You got to switch it up when guys are struggling, get a little creative. You know, you're throwing in different guys in the starting lineup right now, as that's kind of been in flux for a while. You got Blake, Bullock, and Bruce Brown. It's kind of the only guys playing well. But if they're starting together, they start off great. Big lead, just like on Saturday, on Monday once again. And then you leave Dre. He's the one guy you leave out there, the guy who looks like he's gassed, first of all, and not a guy you can run plays for. And the last thing you want to do is run plays for him, get him isolated in the post on LaMarcus Aldridge or something like that. We know how that ends. It does not end well. It's the last guy of those starters group that you want to keep out there with the bench guys. You can't feature him at all. And then that's when the Spurs go on the 23-2 run over the last part of the first quarter, early part of the second quarter. You know, Casey sits there paralyzed, as every one of us, all the big Pistons fans, are sitting there and watching it happen right in front of our eyes. The game swings at that point. They go from up double digits to down double digits. The game swings, and the game's pretty much over. But it wasn't quite over, and I do have one more complaint in terms of maybe a possible Pistons comeback that could have brewed that didn't happen in the fourth quarter with the rotations, and that's Glenn Robinson III. He's not in the rotation right now, which I get. He deserves that. He's played very poorly. If you're the Pistons, you're not even considering bringing him back for the second year of that team option next year unless something changes over these next half a season, and I know there's plenty of times to change the narrative on that, but and we know he will get a chance to crack the rotation again, and he should. But Casey picked early fourth quarter to start sliding him back into the rotation. I think, you know, if you're working a guy back in, that needs to be blowout time late in the game, maybe the second quarter, maybe the third quarter. But no, that crucial stretch of the fourth quarter early on in the fourth before the starters come back in, teams hovering down 10 or 12, still very much into it if they can make a run. That's when you decide to break him back into the rotation. And, of course, Robinson played poorly. He missed a corner three about as bad as you possibly can without airballing it. And I know this complaint sounds bad because the team actually did tread water and played pretty well during that stretch of the first part of the fourth quarter with him out there. I don't think it had anything to do with him. I think it was thanks mostly to John Luer, who was making some shots down in that stretch there. But I thought that was a strange way of Dwayne Casey approaching bringing a guy back into meaningful minutes. He struggles all year, gets hurt for a while, he's out of the rotation, and then you get him back in, you slowly work him in, then bam, now he needs to be a guy who makes plays and knocks down shots to keep the team alive in a game that was still, you know, on the verge of being winnable at that point. I'm just not impressed with Dwayne Casey and the game work in game so far, or lately, especially for him. Where's the Nick Nurse and the staff that can design that kind of thing? And is it Sidney Lowe? Is it Micah Nora? Is it Tim Grugrich? You know, you got Sammy Gelfand sitting there with the analytics, supposed to be kind of the liaison between the analytics and the coaching staff. Pull them aside. I mean, what's going on? You know, let's get some of this stuff figured out. Let's get smarter ways of deploying the limited offensive and defensive options that you do have with this team. We know the roster's limited. We know there's big holes with this team, but there's ways to maximize what you do have. But next, we're going to talk a little bit about more of those trades that we've been talking about. Speaking about the roster, we had a listener that hated my Friday idea, some other folks on Twitter as well. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, easy enough for me to say, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hey, Matt, this is Andy from Ann Arbor, and I just recently listened to the Friday podcast. Heard your trade idea about Drummond for Hayward. I think that is kind of ludicrous. Gordon Hayward is done. D-U-N, done. He will never get back to where he was. I think the way that he's playing right now is probably about 90% of what he will eventually be when he's quote-unquote fully healthy. Trading Drummond for him is basically trading a dollar for two quarters. I mean, it's just not great. I understand that Drummond would be hard to unload. And, I'm not somebody that dislikes Andre at all. I like him quite a bit and think he's a really good player. If the Pistons were to trade him, I would understand why. However, if they were to trade him for someone like Gordon Hayward, I would not understand why. That would be insane to me. I think you're great. I love the show. I hate your trade.
That was Andy from Ann Arbor with a great voicemail. I love the compliments, but I also love ripping on my trade. Well, the trade, to rewind it a little bit, I said Andre Drummond for Gordon Hayward. That works out. And probably the thing that pushes maybe some of you guys over the top is I said, screw it. I would throw Reggie Bullock into that trade, a nice asset that the Pistons could get something for. It's a risk. And certainly, like Andy from Ann Arbor laid out, you know, is Gordon Hayward ever going to get back to where he was in Utah? Maybe not, but is this version of Gordon Hayward 90% of where it is? But it's possible that you may not get there. So, like I said, it's a risk. It's a big risk, and Andy from Ann Arbor didn't like it. It's more of me. Maybe I'm souring on Andre Drummond as the season goes on, and he just kind of devolves, I guess is maybe a better way. Maybe a better word for it, but the season is kind of unraveling. I think Andre Drummond's kind of been at the center of it. Yeah, sure, you'd like to move Reggie Jackson. We all kind of would, except for maybe a couple of the holdovers out there. But that's probably not going to happen unless you spice it up with something you don't want to spice it up with. But I think kind of pushing reset, taking a gamble on Gordon Hayward as a guy who can respond next year, get the leg, get the strength up as time goes on, and maybe can return to something like the Utah Gordon Hayward that was so coveted in free agency by many teams, including Miami and Boston, obviously, that was just last summer. So I think we watch Paul George. I think we see a guy who recovered from a gruesome injury and is now in the MVP discussion, one of the better players in the league. So we'll agree to disagree with Andy from Ann Arbor. Really appreciate the call. Want to hear from what you guys think about trade season. We'll talk trades all month. It's kind of one of the more interesting things to talk about with a team that's struggling so badly. The Google Voice number is 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. Prefer the voicemails so we can play them on the show, but you can text that number as well to reach me. I will respond to those texts in time as well. But this is your host, Matt Shook. Give us a follow on Twitter and also on Facebook. I got an Instagram feed out there as well. And give us a rating and review on iTunes. Appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate you spreading the word. And we'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Pistons. Thanks for listening, everyone.